Nebuchadnezzar is the public demonstration of the inability of the statue of the human race of mankind to take care of himself. Nebuchadnezzar becomes the ultimate momentum that leads to the fulfillment of the very thing that he dreamt about. God used an evil king to speak to you and me. And just because he used him, he didn't excuse him from the ultimate destruction that comes upon all people who refuse to bow down and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
God has an encouraging word for you and me today as we continue the Daniel series in the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. The book of Daniel is so rich and full with insight that we can apply to how we live out our life today, how 2020 is going to be effective. You know, some of these messages were preached a couple of years ago, and looking ahead to 2020, what's it going to be like? Well, today as we face that together, know that we're a part of a community that believes in praying for one another. If there's something going on in your life you'd like to have us praying for, call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Yesterday, we were talking about the fact that there's nothing we can do on our own. And so today, let us understand more of how God is ready to empower us through the Word of God to do things we never dreamed possible. Here's Dr. Wilson.
Princesses from Monaco on down the road, you ain't read nothing until you go and read about the Henrys and the Georges and all these boys. I mean, they had a time. I mean, you talk about immorality and adultery of the highest order. Shakespeare tried to write about it in the 17th century, but unfortunately got stuck in an endeavor to mete out Tylenol to hundreds of poor English students. And so the message of the immoral age of Shakespeare somewhat got distorted, but it's there. We live in a far more moral age, generally speaking, than ever before. Oh, we can talk about the strength of the age. There's iron and clay mixed together. Clay talks about the weakness of the nation, of a people, of a kingdom. These two are coexisting side by side. Well, let's talk about food. We spoke about food as being a strength of the nation. I'm not a nutritionist, and it doesn't take very long for the rest of you to agree with that. And it's not actually a major part of my life, but it should be. But I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you that our food today is poisoned and polluted. There are more chemicals being introduced into our food than ever before. Cows and sheep are being obliterated and infiltrated with every kind of antibiotic and every other kind of toxin that you could ever imagine. Foods are being sprayed left and right. That's why you can go and buy stuff in the grocery store now, and you can have it at home for 3 weeks without it growing any green stuff on it. The sad part about having bread at home and not seeing any green stuff for 3 weeks is because it's got so many preservatives on it that the green stuff's got no chance to even appear. In fact, if you want to get some really good food, get it, and if it gets green stuff within a day, you know that you bought some healthy food. I just thought I would drop that in there for some thought. Education. Oh, we are an educated people. But folks, I'm going to say to you that whilst we're grateful for the incredible men and women who have a passion and a compassion to teach our people, even in the United States of America, the standard of education is dropping at a free fall rate. The standards are becoming lower and lower and lower and lower. It is almost unheard of for any student to actually fail anymore. And if a teacher actually fails a student, they're going to face the possibility of everything from a lawsuit to who knows what. Because everything, including the kitchen sink, will be thrown at them. Education, yes, it is a strength, but we're living in such a compromise where there is such a mixture of iron and clay. We tell students that they've got to work hard, but on the other hand, if they don't, we're going to do whatever we can to help them get through no matter what. Whether we've got to lower the standards, whether we've got to affect everybody else around, whether we've got to give repeated retestings, whether we've got to provide all the answers for all the students before they take the test, whether we've got to reduce essay writing down to these infernal one-word answers that never stretch the imagination, whether we remove our students from the validity of writing essays in longhand and memorizing and studying so that they really come to grips with facts rather than fiction. Oh yeah, we can talk about our education system. It's good. But I'm going to tell you that iron is being mixed with clay. And folks, there's nothing that we can do about it. I'm telling you that in the year 2020, I don't want to see what our education system looks like. It's getting scary. And folks, we are living in an age, and I'm just saying this by the way, where we no longer reward good work and discipline. In our schools today, we are on an all-out effort to reward bad behavior and a lack of discipline. There is an ever-growing popularity contest, the politicization of the education system. I believe somewhere, somehow, ties into the prophecy of Daniel. There is a mixture of iron and clay. What about families? Oh, we thank God for the strength of families. We can talk about them to a great extent, but I'm also going to say to you that the erosion of the family unit is something that we are all well aware of today. We're living in a day and age across the world where the family is almost becoming a laughing stock, where if political candidates dare to get on a political platform and chastise a lack of family values, even in a television program, they will be besmirched and besmeared from one side of the nation to the other and called everything from a bigot to who knows what, because they dared to question the erosion of family values. We're living in a day and age today where anything that feels good goes, where increasingly iron is being mixed with clay. If you believe in one man for one woman for one lifetime, that's great. Good for you. Have a good time. But if I believe in one man for one man with one man for one lifetime, that's my business. We need to learn to be tolerant. That's my preference. It has nothing to do with morality or standards or values. You've got iron mixing with clay, living side by side. What about earning capacity? What about social good? What about justice? What about morality? We're living in a day and age today, yes. Oh yes, we've got these things. We are a people who pursue justice. We are a people who are about social good. We are a moral people. That's why we have churches like this. That's why we believe, young people, that's why I beg you to go on a senior high retreat. Because it's in places like this that you're going to learn about godly morality, about God's standards of justice, about being socially conscious according to God's standards, the principles and precepts of God's word. I'm jealous for that for you. I want that for you because I was given that. I want to give that to you. I want you to be partnered in that. I don't want you to become one of these young people who grow up in a church like this and then go to college. And the moment you go to college, here comes all this clay. And the clay is going to want to mix with your iron. And if you don't have precepts and principles, you are going to become a mixture of iron and clay. You're going to become one of many people who say, well, that's good for you, I'm glad. And oh, I know about that stuff. I grew up in the church. That's what my folks do, but I don't do that. I know about these standards. You know, I know that I stood up here for True Love Waits and I said, I will not allow another boy or another girl to touch my body sexually in any way. You stood in this church and your parents stood with you and you took a ring. And you said, God has a standard. And I believe that my body is God's gift to my spouse one day. And when I get into that marriage bed on the first night of my marriage, my wife or my husband is going to receive from me the most precious gift that God could ever give. And I'm going to save myself. I've made a covenant. I'm going to stand on iron. And somebody's going to come along and say, excuse me, why don't we mix a little clay into your iron there? You don't really mean that, do you? Let's get into a heated moment in the back seat of a car. Let's go and watch a movie together and lie all over each other's bodies. Let's start feeling one another out and exploring one another's bodies. Well, okay, just this once. Well, I'll just mix a little clay in with the iron here. Before you know it, your life will never be the same again. Iron mixes with clay. What is God trying to say to us? But there's a third thing that I want us to just mention. It's this question of mixture. You see, here the word of God says in verse 43, look at this with me, folks. This is incredible. And just as you saw the people will be a mixture, just like the iron mixed with baked clay. What's the analogy here? The analogy is that people will be a mixture and will not remain united. Now, folks, we're in a difficult area here. I believe that this mixture is the trend of nations today. Just think about it. Nations have become mixed culturally all over the world, like never before. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether you're in Africa, whether you're in Australia, whether you're in the United States, nations have become a mixture culturally. That's the day and age in which we live. They become a mixture morally. Here's the key word today. Anything goes. If it feels good, do it. If it tastes good, do it. If it sounds good, listen to it. If it looks good, see it. It doesn't matter. Whatever fits, do it. That's the word today. But folks, even more importantly, the nations have become a mixture spiritually today. Now we're looking for the signs of the times. I'm asking myself the question, how close are we to the smashing of the toes by the Rock of Ages? I don't know. But I will tell you that I see iron everywhere like never before. I will tell you that I see clay everywhere like I've never seen before. I will tell you that I see a mixture everywhere like I've never seen before. I see a mixture culturally, I see a mixture morally, and I see a mixture spiritually. Folks, increasingly in the world, not so much in the South, although it's coming in, there is a mixture of religions taking place. Anything's all right. Doesn't matter anymore. Don't get carried away and excited. Don't stand on absolute truth. The biggest question today, folks, is the issue of absolute truth. A denial of absolute truth. Surely not. Jesus Christ is not the only way. Surely sincerity is good enough. Church membership. It doesn't matter what you believe. I heard someone say to me a couple of weeks ago, who cares about baptism? What does it matter if you get sprinkled or baptized as a baby? Folks, it does matter. It does matter. Why? Because of what the Bible teaches. It does matter. Why get all, you know? So what if some people want to worship Mary? Let them worship Mary. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. Because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the only way. We're living in a mixture. People are increasingly saying, boy, that church down the road there, man, they just think they know everything. Boy, that preacher over there, or that person over there, boy, they just so blind and narrow-minded. How can you be so narrow-minded? Well, if believing in Jesus Christ means to be narrow-minded, I'm narrow-minded. Jesus said there were two roads, a broad road and a narrow road. A broad way, everybody's finding it, but the narrow road, few people are finding it, and it leads to life. I've chosen the narrow road. Well, what does it mean in time? In time, look at verse 44. In time, in the time of those kings. Well, if we've got to understand what that means, we've got to look at the God of heaven. We've got to understand the nature and the character of the indestructible kingdom. We've got to understand the consummation of the battle at Armageddon in Revelation. We've got to understand the meaning and the significance of eternity. We've got to understand the meaning and significance of the end of world government. And so it is that Nebuchadnezzar leans back in his wonderful seat, and his talk from verse 46 through 49 is Daniel, well done, old chap. Daniel, what you've said is true. You've struck a chord with me. I'm going to make you the prime minister of Babylon. You've answered my question. You've done well. I'm going to put a ring on your finger. I'm going to take your friends and I'm going to make them rulers over the provinces. And having said that, Daniel walks out. Nebuchadnezzar walks out and he builds a golden image. And he says, oh yes, I believe that your God is the God of all gods. But I want you to fall down and worship this image of the king. Now folks, listen to me. Listen to me. Do you know what the greatest tragedy would be here tonight? The greatest tragedy tonight would be someone who's sitting here and God has spoken to your heart and you've said, Lord, I know that you're true and your word speaks to my heart. And then for you to walk out of this room and build a golden image and bow down and worship it. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see, Nebuchadnezzar's talk was not matched by his walk. And folks, the moment this prophecy is made known, Nebuchadnezzar sets in motion the fulfillment of God's prophecy.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of what verse 44 is all about and more of today's message with Dr. Wilton in just a moment. But Dr. Wilton insists I interrupt to remind you that we are here to encourage you. And it's our prayer that our front line of presentation, the messages from Dr. Wilton rooted in God's Word, is really the key to our encouragement. That's what we are here to do more than anything else, because Jesus promised that if He be lifted up and Dr. Wilton lifts up the name of Jesus and the truth of Jesus, that He'll draw men and women and boys and girls unto Himself. Could it be that halfway through this program, you're sensing God draw you to Himself through the power of His Word to challenge you, to convict you? What I would request is that you not let this day go by without drawing a little line in the sand and saying, okay, these are the things I'm going to change to be more Daniel-like, to be more Christ-like. We'd love to pray you through those resolves at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. It would be our great joy to lock arms with you and be a part of your support system. You can reach us not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day on that number as well. 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, let's connect keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. We stand ready to encourage you here at The Encouraging Word. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Nebuchadnezzar is the public demonstration of the inability of the statue of the human race of mankind to take care of himself. Nebuchadnezzar becomes the ultimate momentum that leads to the fulfillment of the very thing that he dreamt about. God used an evil king to speak to you and me. And just because he used him, he didn't excuse him from the ultimate destruction that comes upon all people who refuse to bow down and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And folks, I want to ask you to come, wherever you are, I want to ask you to come tonight. Some to join the church, some to recommit their lives to Christ, some to say, Lord, just use me. Folks, God is doing something with all of us, including myself. God is blessing us during these days. You know, I study the book of Daniel like this. The more I study it, the more I just realize, the more I don't know. And I grapple with all these things and I say to myself, yes, iron is mixing with clay, but praise be to God, we got some bucketfuls of iron that God has made available to us. So let's take that iron and let's build a strong house together. You ready? I'm ready. Let's serve the Lord.
What a powerful invitation. Come and trust Him. You know, this may have welled up within you a lot of questions about your faith, questions about what it is to say yes to Jesus Christ. know that we don't have all the answers, but we know where we can find them in God's Word, and we would love to dig together with you to find the answers to the questions you might be having in your heart right now. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. I pray you've jotted it down or maybe even stored it in your cell. 866-899-9673. We'll always connect you with one of us. Happy to talk, to listen, to pray, maybe connect you with great resources that will help you grow in your faith. But you can't grow what hasn't begun. Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Perhaps these are the most important moments from our pastor coming up next.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
I was depressed, cut off by my family because of my past. But I prayed with Linda on the phone while watching Dr. Wilton on TV. I prayed for Jesus to save me, and He did. And now I worship at Flat Rock Baptist, and I am just loving the way God's made me part of His family.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
That phone number Dr. Don was referring to is 866-899-WORD. It's the number we use to encourage you and would be appreciating encouragement to us as well. That's 866-899-9673. First and foremost, we stand ready to pray with you, pray for you, and provide you resources that will help you grow in your faith. Until next time, I pray you have a wonderful weekend. And Dr. Don would remind you, you need to be a part of a local Bible-believing church. I hope you'll find one this week. Till next time, take care and God bless.
I would like to take this time to testify what the Daily Encouraging Word devotional has meant to my spiritual life. Out of all the devotionals I ever encountered, this one has to be the most inspirational to speak the revelation knowledge in my life. It has blessed and allowed me to seek God's purpose for my life.